So if you have your Bible, if you would join me in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12. It's toward the end of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. And as you're told, I wanted to mention this as well. Last week in the message, I think I referred to an article on the table back here called "You Hurt Me, Now What?" And after the message or after the service last week, we ran out of those articles, so I made more. They're back there if you didn't get one last week, or if you just want to take one today, they are back there now, Lord willing, and so you help yourself to any of the resources back there. We put them out there to be a blessing to you, so please take advantage. Please help yourself. And Hebrews chapter 12, and once you get your hands free or as you're able, if you would join me in making our confession together as we go into the message this morning. I won't say the word because we've been in the word all morning. We've been reading it and singing it and praying it. So thank God for his word today. So would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You sound great. Hebrews chapter 12. Before I read these three verses, I'd give you a little background. The Christian life is like a long-distance race, like a marathon. And a marathon, I'm quite sure, since I've never done one, will test your endurance. And when our endurance is tested, it doesn't really matter whether that's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, when our endurance is tested, we can be tempted to give up. And in life, our endurance is tested by adversity. We just feel like things are coming against us. Our endurance can be tested by loss. Our endurance can be tested by opposition. We feel like people or someone just coming against us, and it tests our endurance. Our endurance can be tested by temptation. We seem like we're just hit by temptation, and we seem like we can't have the victory. Our endurance is tested by trials and tribulations, and they come to all of us. It's part of life. And in those times, how do we persevere? How do we endure and keep running this Christian race? By God's grace. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, and please notice the words here that are like corporate. It's not just singular. It's not one person. It's together. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He just finished writing about many witnesses throughout the scripture who lived by faith. Some of them had miraculous escapes, and others endured great hardships, but they all made it through by faith. So he says, since we're surrounded by past and present, a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let me pause there a second. How many of y'all remember the weights, like the ankle weights and the wrist weights? Y'all remember those? Anybody? I'm probably terrible for our joints. I don't know. If a doctor tells you use them, please use them. I'm thinking of me as a kid. But I remember, you know, I liked the Kung Fu movies back in the day and Bruce Lee. And I remember using those hand weights, you know, strap them on your wrist and you do your punches or kicks or whatever. And then you take them off and you're lightning fast. You're just like Bruce Lee. But you wouldn't want to run a marathon with those on. So he says, it might not even be sin, but it's a weight. It's hindering you in your journey with me. Go ahead and lay that aside. Cast that off, every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know, sometimes it can be just one thing that really trips us up. Not all those sins, get rid of them. And the sin, which so easily entangles it, ensnares us. And again, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you see how it's all corporate? We're in this together. How do we do that? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. The Bible says he endured the agony and torture and torment of the cross because there was joy on the other side. What was the joy waiting for Jesus on the other side of the cross? It was the joy of doing the Father's will and paying for our sins so that we could be reconciled, brought back into the family, brought back into right relationship with our Father in heaven. And that brought joy to the heart of the Son of God. Thank God he endured the cross for me. Then verse 3, for consider him, that means think about him, who endured such hostility, the agony, the torture, the mockery, the spitting, the shame, the beating, the crucifixion, just the weight of every curse upon him, as we sang earlier. Think about him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. And then notice these words, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Because when our endurance is tested, it doesn't matter whether it's adversity, temptation, loss, opposition, trials. When our endurance is tested, we can become weary and discouraged in our souls. How do we keep going then? And that's what I'd like to focus on in the time we have today. Looking unto Jesus. So the message is simply this. We fix our focus on Jesus. We fix our focus on Jesus. I looked up that word fix just as an English dictionary. The fix can mean to adjust. Like this table, this leg needs to be fixed, needs to be adjusted. I need to tighten it up or something. Maybe, you know, my lens needs to be fixed. I need something corrected to adjust. So we fix our focus on Jesus. I started to call this I fix. And I said, it's too many we's and us and our there in the text. It's together. We fix our focus on Jesus. And that's how we carry on. It's how we run this race of the Christian journey with endurance. The word looking there, looking unto Jesus, has two meanings. It means to fix one's eyes, like to focus, and it also means to look away. So looking unto Jesus, to fix one's eyes, to focus on him, and to look away. They go together. As we fix our focus on Jesus, we look away from anything else and everything else that can be detrimental. Remember what happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Satan was able to distract her from the whole world. She had access to everything, every blessing the Lord had freely given. He said, one forbidden tree. And the devil deceived her into taking her focus off of all of the blessings of God, looking on one forbidden tree. And we know the story from there. Not just Eve, Adam also. So this is what I've learned, I've tried to share. Our faith determines our focus. What we believe is going to influence our focus. And then our focus is going to determine our direction. So our faith determines our focus, and our focus determines our direction. So we look to Jesus. And I can just tell you this, I'm telling you from me, I need to constantly fix my focus on Jesus. I need to constantly adjust. I need to constantly correct and fix my focus on Jesus because I'm constantly hit with something to distract me, which can then discourage me and ultimately defeat me. We fix our focus on Jesus. Would you say that with me? We fix our focus on Jesus. Would you look at this verse in chapter 11? It's chapter Hebrews 11, verse 27. Hebrews 11:27. In the Bible, speaking of Moses here, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. We're talking about how we can endure. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. We'll put this on the screen. I'll read it to you from the New Living Translation as well. It says, it was by faith. Notice this. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going. How did he do that? Because he kept his eyes on the one who's invisible. Do you see that? Faith determined his focus, and then his focus determined his direction. He kept right on going because he believed God. Now, it says he put his eyes on the one who's invisible. What does that even mean? I know we come up with the Christian phrases, and we kind of probably know what it means. We just got to keep your eyes on Jesus, brother. And that's true. But what does that even mean? What are you talking about? I can't even see Jesus. Keep my eyes on him. What do you mean? What does it mean to keep our eyes on Jesus, Rick?
Put your faith in Jesus.
Okay, it means to put your faith in him. And not just as a one-time event, right? To continual. It's to focus. We look with faith. It's a look of faith. I can't put my physical eyes on him because he's at the right hand of the Father, exalted on high. But I can focus, consider him, think about him. I can focus on him by faith. I can focus mentally. I can focus in my heart. And as we do that, there's something about focusing on the Lord that helps us run this race with endurance and helps us to rise above being weary and discouraged in our souls, because we all have those times. So we fix our focus on Jesus. We need to develop our endurance. Let me show you this scripture. Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10, verse 36 says, you have need of endurance. Would you tell someone next to you, you have need of endurance? Let's admit it. So I do too. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We need the endurance to keep doing God's will and continue doing it until we receive the promise. Too many times as we get discouraged, we can quit. We were doing the right thing, but we stop before we receive the promise. We don't know when it's coming. I know this, God will fulfill his word. God does fulfill his promises, but it'll be in due season. Not my season, in due season. So we have to keep going. We fix our focus. We keep fixing our focus on Jesus. Say, all right, I got it. Fix our focus on Jesus. I need to develop my endurance. Now, how do I develop endurance? I'm so glad you asked. If you want to write these verses down, I'll come back to Hebrews, but I'll read them to you. The first one is Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And this chapter starts off by saying that we have peace with God through faith in Jesus, and it gives us access into this grace in which we stand. And we glory in this presence of God. We glory in him. We rejoice in the hope that he gives. Then verse 3, this is Romans 5:3, says this. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We do. I admit, I don't always. But see, if we understood, there's something good on the other side. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces, and that word perseverance is the exact same word translated endurance in the book of Hebrews. It's tribulation that helps us develop the endurance we need to keep running. But we need to keep our focus on Jesus so we don't quit. And he says that endurance, perseverance develops character. That's Christ-like character. And character develops hope. And hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When we receive Jesus as Lord, his Holy Spirit enters and he brings the love of God with us. And there's something about love that is enduring. Love doesn't want to quit. Love wants to keep on. Love inspires and it motivates. tribulation. Remember what Jesus said in John 16? He said, "These things I've spoken to you, that my peace may be in you." In the world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have pressure. You're going to have anxiety and stress. But be of good cheer. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Live in my peace. I have peace. You focus on me. Receive my peace. This world is not going to take you out. I've got you. You're mine. And you're going to overcome. Then the Bible says this also about developing endurance in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy." That's almost like what we were reading about earlier in Romans, where it says, "We glory in tribulation." "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Why would we do that? "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." That is, again, the same word translated endurance in Hebrews. Some translations, if you have them, may actually say that it develops patient endurance. Patient endurance, the testing of our faith. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect," that simply means mature, "and complete, lacking nothing." So how do we develop endurance? By faith in God and His Word when we go through tribulation and the testing of our faith. When we face tribulation, when our faith is tested and we hold on to God and we continue to believe His Word, that He is faithful and we trust His promises and we look to Him in faith, it develops endurance in us, and that endurance helps us to continue on so we don't quit and we keep on until we receive the promise. We fix our focus on Jesus. Would you say that with me? We fix our faith on Jesus. David Jeremiah, many of you I'm sure are familiar with him. He says this, "As you face the troubles of daily life and respond to its challenges, keep your eyes on Jesus." Again, keep your focus on Jesus and walk by faith. In the process, the Holy Spirit will correct, mature, and make you more like Christ. So it's responding to life's challenges with faith and focus on the Lord. And I know that when we focus on Jesus, it gives us a proper perspective on life. That's so important. There is no way that the Bible could say that in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." He says, because we don't focus on just what we can see, because that's all going to pass. It's temporary, but by faith we look beyond the temporary to see the eternal, and that helps us not lose heart and carry on. It's working for us. I know it's hard, it's heavy, it's stress, but we can't grow our faith, we can't grow stronger spiritually, we can't grow more like the Lord if our faith isn't tested at all. I can lift a pencil all day long and not going to make my arm any stronger, but you put a few more pounds in it and stress it a little bit, and God knows what we need to help us. So a proper focus on Jesus gives us a proper focus on life, and when we have a proper focus on life, it will help us enjoy the blessings more, and it will help us endure the difficult days when they come, because we all have those times. Let me share this with you. I just believe two ways right here in the book of Hebrews that are practical to help us keep our focus on Jesus. We fix our focus on Him, and just I'll give them to you both, and then we'll look at each one for a moment. So how can we keep our focus on Jesus? We fix our focus on Jesus first by the Word of God, and second, by the worship of God. We fix our focus on Jesus by the Word of God and by the worship of God. Hebrews chapter 4, if you're still there in Hebrews, if you would turn back there with me when you get your hands free. Hebrews chapter 4, God uses His Word. In fact, I'll get your input on this. Just think about it a second. How does God use His Word in our lives today? Let me give you one just to start, okay? The Bible tells us that we're born again by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. We have to hear and receive the Word of God like a seed going into the ground, and the Spirit of God gives life to that Word, and we are born again, and God's Spirit indwells us. We have divine DNA inside of us because God's Spirit is in us. And that's how we grow more like Christ as we stay close to Him. So the Word of God can change our hearts. What else can God's Word do for us? Anyone? Yes, Sean. The Bible says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? So the Word of God can help us put off old thinking and put on new with His truth, right? Huh. All right. Change our speech. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. So if our heart is changed and we get enough of God's Word in us, we can transform our speech. I'll work my way back. Okay, Lori? Okay. So God's Word can guide us as a lamp unto our feet, right? Or to our path. Wendy?
I was going to say it can change your family, the people around you.
Okay.
The example that you're putting out there.
As we live the Word out, we become a living letter of Christ to those around us so they can be drawn to Him. All right, thank you. Who else? Jeanette? Oh, to calm our spirit and give us peace. Amen. The psalmist in another place said, strengthen me according to your word. What did Jesus say? If you abide in my word and my words abide in you, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God used his word to free us and to empower us to endure. Give me strength, Lord. The devotion we put out here on the table, recently I was reading about George Mueller. He was a man back in the 1800s. He was a great man of faith. And he literally rescued thousands of homeless children in England years ago and saw God supernaturally provide for them. But I read about something he had written in a journal back years ago during that time. I've read accounts of where they had nothing. He didn't have anything to feed the children. And he would sit them down at the table and pray and thank God. And more than once, a milk cart back in the day going by had trouble with the wheel and a knock on the door. And the milkman said, my cart is broken down. Can the children use any milk? That a baker came by with bread. That provision just came in supernaturally. This is what he said. He wrote this on May 8th of 1841. He says, this is what I learned. The first great primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditating on it. That's the key, is the meditating on it, isn't it? Give it a little time to mull it over and think it over. To the reading of the Word of God and meditating on it, thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed, and brought into communion with the Lord. That's the goal. See, that's what it's really all about. Brothers and sisters, this isn't just an ancient religious text. It's the Word of God that's living and powerful, and we can receive it in such a way that it brings us to the author. And that's the intent, that it not just brings us to Him, it helps us to be closer to Him and become more like Him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll pierce even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll show us our heart. But it's not just the book. I want you to see it. They go together. That's why he says in the very next verse, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. So they go together. The Word of God refers to both the Son and the Scripture. There's nothing hidden in his sight. We'll give account to him. But then verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast our faith in Him. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Aren't you glad Jesus cares and He sympathizes with what you're going through? You are not alone. He can relate with our weaknesses, but He was in all points even tempted like we are, yet without sin. So because His word is living and powerful, and because it draws us to Him, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's use the word of God to bring us to the Son of God. Receive with meekness the word of God. So how do we develop? How do we keep our focus on Jesus? By the word of God. And number two, by the worship of God. By the worship of God. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The word of God and the worship of God. All through it, the whole theme of the book of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ over all creation. Superiority of Christ over all the Old Testament prophets and the priests and in the entire Old Testament system. He instituted a new system for us, a new covenant. And in the Old Covenant, we failed because our flesh is weak. In the New Covenant, Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So it talks about how great He is. And the Bible even says at the beginning of Hebrews, when the Father brought His firstborn Son into the world, He said, let all the angels of God worship Him. And to which of the angels did He ever say, today you are my Son, today I have begotten you? He says, your throne, O God, the Son, God, your throne is established forever. Then He says this toward the end of that book in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says this, therefore, by Him, speaking of Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What does that mean? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Would you, I know we might have different translations, but would you read that with me off the screen just so that we're on the same translation? Let's read it together, would you? Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. See, the Word of God reveals God to us so that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. God has ordained a way for us to come to Him. And so the Word of God reveals God to us. We come to Him. It draws us to Him. It draws us to His presence. It draws our focus to Him so that we reverence Him, so that we praise Him, we worship Him, we thank Him, we adore Him, we confess His greatness, we confess His goodness. There's something about giving God the praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks that magnifies the Lord, that helps us focus on Him, and the focus on Him helps us endure what we're going through right now. So it encourages us, it inspires us. There's something that helps us keep our focus on the Lord. We fix our focus on Jesus. I read about a lady, her name is Esther Bonner. She lives out in California, and near her house, there is a tunnel that she drives through occasionally. And she said when the traffic is light, you can roll your window down and say something out of the window, and your echo comes back to you. And she said, for years, I just had a negative attitude. I just lived in fear and doubt and low expectations. And she said, like an echo, what I dwelt on came back to me. Remember last week? Dwell on these things, do these things. And this is what she said. She realized that, she said, after my mother passed away, I turned to Scripture for comfort. And as I took in the accounts of God's love and forgiveness and God's kindness and compassion, my heart changed. The more I focus on the goodness of God, the more enjoyable my life becomes. She says, I still have challenges to face, but my heart is lighter as I face them. And here is the last thing she wrote. When I focus on God's goodness, I can better see the goodness of God around me. Do you see what a difference? That's what I'm saying. It's a proper focus on Jesus gives us a proper focus on life to enjoy the blessings and to endure the difficult days. I fix my focus on Jesus. Do you see how important it is that we use the Word of God and we use worship to just keep our focus on Jesus, to keep focusing on Him, because it will help us endure. One of the men in the church here runs marathons. He used to, I don't know if he still does, and I know he runs. And I know a few years ago, Bobby ran in the Boston Marathon. So I asked him this morning, I said, was that the hardest marathon you've ever run? I was expecting him to say, yeah, because from what I understand, is there a part of that course that's called Suicide Hill on the Boston Marathon? Is that right? It is. So I thought he was going to say, yeah. And he said, no. I was like, really? That wasn't the, I guess, just popularity. I said, which one was the hardest? He thought about it, and he said, Richmond. And I said, really? What was it about it? And he shared that he said, I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. I said, well, but he had to qualify in that one to get to the Boston. I said, what kept you going? How did you endure? He said, I just had to make up my mind. I had a made up mind. And I went through and I said, was it worth it that you endured? He said, yes. And isn't that how life is? Man, we go through those hard times and our endurance is tested. We're human. It's going to happen. But if we keep fixing our focus on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, He not only begins the faith in us, He continues it and keeps it going. And He didn't quit. He endured. And His Spirit in us is going to help us endure. So we just have to, and we almost have to have that made up mind. And what we're going through now is preparing us for greater challenges. They're going to come. Our endurance is going to be tested. But I want to say this. I really believe this. As I was preparing for this, I sensed it again this morning earlier, that though our endurance will be tested, as we keep fixing our focus on Jesus, we're going to receive His grace by His Spirit to overcome those challenges, and we're going to carry on to the glory of God, and we are going to see it through. He is the goal. We fix our focus on Him, and when we get to Him, we finished our course. And He says, welcome home. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enjoy forever. But there's something about knowing that's coming that can help inspire us now. And I believe that greater challenges are coming, but I really believe that God is saying to us today that greater grace and greater blessings are coming too. Greater challenges are coming, but greater grace and greater blessings are coming too. Will you examine your heart today? And you just think about this. What have you been focusing on? What have you been focusing on? Because again, what we focus on has a tendency to grow. Faith, focus, direction. Remember Elijah? He believed something that wasn't true. It affected his focus. It affected his direction. And he isolated himself in a cave, weary and discouraged. But God didn't give up on him. He went to him, and with a still small voice, a gentle whisper, he said, Elijah, you believe something that's not true. You're not the only one doing right. You're not the only one serving me. I've got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. That's why I say we're in this together. And as we bless and encourage others, God blesses and encourages us. He says, Elijah, it's time to get back in the game. You get your rest, get your nutrition, but I'm not done with you. You go anoint this one king, and I want you to train and disciple someone to follow you after you do finish your race. We fix our focus on Jesus. Today, I pray that you hear an encouraging word to fix your focus on Jesus, that we're going to endure by the grace of God. whatever we have to go through in this time, because greater blessings, greater testimony, and greater joy are coming our way to the glory of God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?